Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
I heard of a guy that was very attached to his money. So therefore, he left his specific instructions for his wife that when he passed, that he would put $50,000 inside his coffin so he could take it with him. Well, sure enough, that happened, and the funeral was over, and a good friend of hers came up and said, "Well, tell me, did you really put $50,000 in that coffin?" She said, "I sure did. I loved my husband. I carried out his wishes. I left a check." You know, I'm really good on Sundays. It's Monday through Saturday that I have my problem with an attitude. Do you ever? You know, I'm not saying I have a bad one, but I get tempted sometimes, and I listen to the wrong voice. Not my Heavenly Father, but the adversary. And so I think it's real important. If I have to go through things like this, I know you go through things like this. I get upset with the negatives in my life. It reminds me every day that the old creature is not completely dead. So here's the problem. Negative thoughts and words drag me down. I lose my joy, my crown, and the proper image of myself. When the old creature is on display, it's a bummer for me, but not only me, but for everybody else around me. So the remedy is simple. The flesh has to go lower, and the spirit go higher. The enemy points out something bad about myself many times in a day. But I've learned something that is helping me to counteract that condition. Want to hear it? Yeah. It's all about self-definition. So you have to ask yourself many times during the day and the week, will the real me please stand up? Yeah. You ever been disappointed in yourself? We might get disappointed in others, but I get more disappointed in myself. I want to know who the real me is. There's a scripture up here. Go back to that 2 Corinthians, I think it is. There you go. I like this because it says, "And we all with unveiled faces." Now, I've added the parentheses just to kind of give a little helpful understanding. "With an unveiled face, reflecting a true picture of who we are." That's your unveiled face. "Beholding the glory image of the Lord and being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." Nothing in this life is more important than me finding out who I really am. You know that worship this morning? You were preaching my sermon. I kept telling myself, you know, there's not going to be anything left to say. I am a friend of God. How does that elevate you? The trouble is, we get it on Sunday morning, we forget it Monday morning. I was sharing the gospel one time with someone that didn't go to church. Said he had never wanted to go to church. He said, "That's nice, but that's just not me. I'm not that religious. Church isn't my crowd. That's just the way I am." Hey, do you want to live your whole life just the way you are? Not me. You can describe the situation, but until you do something about it, it won't change. When God looked down at all the darkness, did he say, "Woo, look at all that darkness. It's really dark out there." Did he go on and on about the darkness? No. When he saw the darkness, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. What he said came to pass. You know what? The things that you say consistently and with the authority of God comes to pass too in your life, because you were created like God. God spoke creative words, and you speak creative words. To the good or to the bad, they have power. God didn't tell it like it is. He told it like it ought to be. Apply that to yourself in your words. Do you have negative thoughts about yourself, like unworthy, unqualified, incapable, just average, dumb? I'm going to hit one here in a minute. Somebody has said that. Over the hill, ought to quit. All right. So where'd you get that idea, by the way? Where'd you get that idea? May I offer a theory? It comes from your self-image, how you look at yourself, what you think about yourself. Others might have said some of those things about you, and then they finally convinced you, you really are dumb. So self-definition is a problem. Why? It's faulty because it comes from a fallen perspective. It's not accurate. To the point it will keep you sidelined from the life Jesus gives and being happy with your life, successful in accomplishing your God-ordained purpose. Listen, you will never rise higher than the image you have of yourself. That's why this stuff is so important. I know because I've been on the wrong end of it. Starting at a very early age. I'm talking about 60 years ago and before. I know you didn't even think I was 60. Started in my mother's womb. I've called myself an idiot, a klutz, a hypocrite, a bad example. Anybody can identify with that? But why do I call myself something that God doesn't? That's not me in the Bible. It's not the you said, sang earlier, the Father sings over me, loves me. I'm the apple of His eye. He would never say anything like that about me. So why would I say something that's not true? God calls me wise, virtuous, talented, worthy, forgiven, equipped, and a good golfer. I have to work on my attitude on the golf course too. So why call yourself something that God doesn't? You're not telling it like it is. The devil sees you one way, God sees you another. So which image do you like? Which image do you agree with? Which image drags you down? And on the other hand, which image takes you higher and happier? The enemy wants to keep up the negative talk and miss your purpose and keep your crown off. Yeah. So don't depend on others. Don't depend on the enemy, that's for sure, to define you. You have enough trouble just with self-talk. Yeah. So, you're not smart enough. You can't make the team. You'll never pass. You're not talented. The teacher doesn't like me. Anybody? Yeah. I have felt like giving up, throwing in the towel, staying on a low level. But God never gives up on me. He just keeps it up. No matter how I feel or what circumstances I'm going through, God says I am loved, accepted, forgiven, crowned, worthy, anointed, talented, and filled with favor. That's my true status with God, no matter what anybody else says, including myself. That's His image. I like to tell this story. It was a time when I was totally down. I came into the house, and Becky could tell right away I had a bad attitude. And she said, "What's up, honey? What's the matter?" And I said, "Just nothing has gone right today. everything. Just, I've got a rotten attitude, and I can't change it. Well, she started to say some things like, cheer up, you know. And you know, Chuck Swindoll said, in 1 minute you can change your attitude and therefore your entire day. And I said, oh, that's really nice, but listen, give up. Don't try to help me. Nothing you can say will make me feel any better. Well, you know what she did? She was desperate. She goes, I'm gonna do something unusual. She went and got the Bible and started reading a Bible verse to me. And I don't even remember which one it was. See, the power is in the Word, not the specific words. The power was in the Word. She started reading a Bible verse to me, and I promise you, halfway through the verse, my attitude changed. It was like something hit me and said, that's right. I'm wrong. I'm going to change. Isn't that something? That's the power of God's Word. So I cheered up, had a great day. So have you ever felt like a loser? I'm going to hit one of you in a minute, see. I'm using all these different things. A loser, a failure, inept, can't do it. You ever find yourself talking about things that you can't do and what you're not? In that moment, and every moment like that, you have a choice to make. You can go with it. You can accept it, or you can reject it. How about that? Next time, the devil tells you you're no good, going nowhere, you'll never amount to anything. Why not just stop right there and say, you know what? I reject it. There's power in that. Just those simple words, I reject it. I always mess up. I always say the wrong thing. People don't like me. Have I described one of your days? So what? God hasn't changed His opinion about you. I understand those feelings, but why not just answer them? God, I thank You that You haven't changed Your opinion about me. Mine's pretty low, but Yours is still right up there with me, even in the midst of my failure and my disappointment. He says You are a masterpiece, a glorious creation, exactly what Adam was created to be. Of course, you're not the finished product, but God's looking at what's on the way, not what's on the way out. Well, negative self-talk is more than personally damaging. It robs you of your peace, your joy, and the church of a valuable contribution. Somebody said, we're digging our grave with our tongue. Well, in the midst of a negative attack, have you stopped and asked, hey, God, hold the phone. God, what do you think? I want Your opinion. And then God says, I'm glad You asked. You are wanted. You are needed. You are valued. You are worthy. You're important. You're capable. You're gifted. And I love You passionately. Thank You very much. That's what I'll believe. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewal of your minds. You can't, but He can. That's grace. If you let the Holy Spirit go to work, He'll give you an updated, true image of yourself. You know, I was thinking about Jesus. He didn't talk about what He felt. Now think about that. He was 100% human, and He had negative feelings. I know He did. He had a feeling, just like we have feelings, but He didn't act on those. He talked about what He knew. If He had gone by His feelings, He would have given up. It's not worth it. I can't do it. Get somebody else. But He thought of Himself what the Father thought of him. He got his self-image from God the Father. Well, what did his hometown think about him? Remember when he went back to Nazareth? He had already begun his ministry. He was already known and popular, successful. Went back to his hometown. Couldn't do many mighty miracles there. Why? Yeah. They said, hey, he's nobody special. We saw him grow up with all the other kids. Yeah. No, I didn't see a dove fluttering above his head. None of those things. He's just little Jesus. What did the Pharisees think about him? Do you know they called him Beelzebub? They were always trying to trick him into saying something that was against the prophecies of the Messiah. Said, no, you're not qualified to be the Messiah. But so, if only we thought and spoke of what the Father, you're going to get feelings, folks. Though feelings are real, they're just not always true. If we thought of ourselves what the Father thinks of us, how much joy and peace would we experience, and how much more of life would we get out of each day? And maybe even give some life and joy to the people around us. So whether you told yourself you're good for nothing, don't have what it takes, or somebody else told you that, if it's not what God said, don't believe it. Why? It's not true. Whether you are 2 or 92, your family, your boss, your church needs your smile, your happiness, your good attitude, your sense of humor, your ideas, and the encouragement you have to give others. There's a scripture, I'm not sure I have it there, about don't give the devil an opportunity. Do you see it back there? I told him that my PowerPoint's probably not going to follow what I'm saying. In my early days when I did PowerPoint, I didn't have anything to look at up here, so I would just do it off the screen. So I was always turned around like this. But there's a good one right there. But this is the one. You got it. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, your bad attitude. How about that? Can we make that application? And give no opportunity to the devil. He's looking for an opportunity. Are you down? Are you discouraged? Are you feeling sorry for yourself? There's an opportunity. The devil says, thank you very much. I can take advantage of this guy right now. He's vulnerable. The Bible says, don't give the devil an opportunity. The devil looks for every opportunity to put you down and keep you down and shield you from your true identity. He will capitalize on a bad attitude, hurtful words, mistakes, and past wounds and injustices. He's there to remind you of your inability and all that you can't do, how you promised and you didn't follow through, you hypocrite. Has anybody else besides me heard that one? Yeah. And you call yourself a Christian. Well, stop listening to that. It sends your life in the wrong direction. Drop the negatives about yourself. I'm such a nerd. Can't do anything right. Always messing up. I'm useless. Can't get it together. Who told you that? Why are you talking that way? If to nobody else, only yourself. What if your foot talked like that when you got out of bed? Your foot said, I can't do it. I don't feel well. I don't think I'll show up today. You know what you have to say to your foot? Hey, get rid of that bad attitude. I need you. And we're not going anywhere until you change your attitude. because I'm taking you with me and I expect you to function like you're supposed to function. Well, those are feelings. You can do something about them, but you have to oppose them and not give them a voice. So at a moment like that, just stop and say, "Hey, God, what do you feel about me? What do you think about me?" And God says, "I'm your friend. You are a friend of God." I almost want to get y'all back up here and sing that again. That was so good. So what if I went through the day never doubting what I can do with His approval, direction, and His power working in me? Oh, really? Never thought of that. I think about it on Sunday. What about during the week? The enemy wants to keep you feeling bad about yourself all the time. Some people do. Terrible way to live. He wants you to keep you sidelined, down, and discouraged. He doesn't want you to find out and speak out who you really are, your real identity, and your real potential. Now, do y'all have a mirror at home? You don't? I don't blame you. No, just that's just a joke. No offense. I sometimes wish that I didn't. But you look into the mirror, what do you see? Gray hair, wrinkles, blemishes, yeah, all that stuff. Not much to look at. So what? That's on the outside. That's not what God is looking at. So what if you looked at what God is looking at? Here's another one. Have you seen yourself in a group picture? Yeah, could be 100 people there. Where do you go to immediately? You got to spot yourself. You go, "I'm right there." People are going, where? I can't see. "I'm right there. Let me put a little circle around it. Right there, that's me." "Oh, that's not you." "No, that can't be you." "Yes, it is me." Can they talk you out of it? No. You know yourself. You just spotted yourself. There I am, right there. If somebody said, "That's not you," you wouldn't let them talk you out of it. "That's me. I'm sure of it. I know me." But now listen, make the application. When you see yourself in the Bible, think of that as a mirror. Now I'm looking at a true mirror of myself. This is honest feedback. God's picture of you, don't let anybody talk you out of it. Just like that picture of yourself in that group. Nobody can talk you out of it. Look in the mirror of God's Word and don't let anybody talk you out of it. That's me. God said it. I'm sure of it. That's the real me that I was created to be. I'm forgiven, saved, new creature in Christ. I'm blessed. I'm patient. Next time you're in the line at Walmart, remind yourself of that. You're patient. You're kind. You're highly favored. Gifted. You're able. You're funny. You're smart. I have what it takes. You might say, "You know what? All that positive stuff, that's all well and good, but I'm not all that. I'm not going to lie." But like Abraham, do like he did. You're calling into reality the things that are not there yet. Oh, that's true. You're not all that yet, but you're speaking it out just like God spoke into the darkness. It's on its way. So when the devil says, "You're lying," just go, no, it's on its way. If God says you are, then you are. Stop arguing with God. Tell your soul to get a new image, a makeover, so to speak. Then start feeling and thinking like the new creature in Christ that you are. A good attitude and a different approach to life doesn't happen overnight. This is something for you to say to yourself often. If you want to, make a list. Get these notes. I had a whole bunch of things in there. They're all things that God said to you. You already know all the negative things. You need to call yourself something different. something that may not be quite there yet. Just catch a glimpse of it from time to time. Maybe your wife, maybe your husband, maybe a child say, you know what? You're sounding a little different than you used to. I like the new you. So, okay, God, I'll say it. I'm wise. I'm wonderful. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am created in the image of God. I'm gifted. I'm able. I am who you say I am, and I can do what you said I can do. Don't say it once. Say it often. You'll give the devil a nervous breakdown. Oh, he won't give up. He won't give up. But you just make his life harder. Wouldn't you like to make the devil miserable instead of him making you miserable? So here's what I'm going to do. Hey, devil, next time you say a negative about me, I'm going to counter it with 20 positives. You say I'm unworthy, unqualified, good for nothing, a nerd, a clown, an idiot. No. Actually, I'm forgiven, favored, redeemed, blessed, anointed, worthy, approved, accepted, fit, able, and indispensable to God's kingdom. Now, devil, do you have something else? And the devil just goes, I don't want to hear it. Say it until you're convinced. You won't convince the devil, but say it until you're convinced. Believe it and your life will totally change. You will come into a new dimension of joyful self-awareness, the self that God has in mind. There's a new creature, and he's on the tip of your tongue. It's the new you. Well, I don't know if I've got time for this illustration. I'll do this real fast. Can you say Mephibosheth? Huh? There it is. You can say it. Try it. Okay, good. I have trouble saying it. He's in the Bible. He was a crippled boy, dropped as a baby, living in Lodabar. He was poor, insignificant, forgotten, didn't really know who he was, had a pretty low estimation of his worth. He had nothing going for him, no future and no hope. Yet, he was somebody. He just didn't know it. You know who he was? He was Saul's grandson and Jonathan's son. Jonathan and David were best friends. One day, Jonathan was killed in battle. That broke David's heart. Later on, he was just sitting there in his palace, and he was thinking, man, I wish there was some way I could bless Jonathan's family. And then somebody reminded him, you know what? Jonathan has a son. He's living in Lodibar. He's crippled. He's all alone. He's forgotten. Nobody cares. He has no potential. He has no future. And David said, I've got an idea. I'm going to bring him to the king's palace. So he had to send his soldiers to go get him. They had to carry him. He couldn't walk. Brought him to the king's palace. He pointed his finger at Mephibosheth and said, from now on, you're living in the king's palace. Because of Jonathan, I'm going to bless you every day. And you're going to eat at my table every day. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to bless you until your blessings are running over. So make the application. Are you living in spiritual Lodibar, disabled, low self-image, incapable, forgotten, hopeless, just like Mephibosheth? God has taken you out of there, brought you to the king's palace, and every day you're eating at the king's table. David did it for Jonathan's sake. For Jesus' sake, that's what the Father has done for you. Okay, skipping down. I'll just say, Abraham was an idol worshiper. That was one of my points, stuff about that. So, okay, got it. All right. So here's what I want to say. Just like a farmer, start planting what you want to grow up. What do you want to see in your life? You got to plant it. What does the farmer want to see? I want to see a crop. Start planting those seeds, what God said about you. You have an inestimable worth and wealth. Not the silly kind of mansions and money, yachts and luxury cars, but the wealth of the presence and power and promises of God made known to us through Jesus Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit. So say this in the mirror. I don't know, have y'all ever talked to the mirror? I do sometimes. It really helps. See, I'm not going by what I see. I'm going by who I truly am. I'm a part of the new creation. I'm moving up. I'm crowned with righteousness. My self-image has been redeemed. That's who I am, and that's what I have. I am more than a conqueror. I have everything Jesus died and rose again to give me. God spoke it, and I'm speaking it now to the mirror. Soul, self, get in agreement with God and be happy. You might need some notes if you want to say all that. But really, put the notes on your mirror. It's hard to remember all this. I had to do a lot of thinking just to remember all of those adjectives. But it really built me up. When I'm making this sermon, this was good for me. You're probably going, I already know all that. I hope you do. Okay, now, look at some of these. Put some of those scriptures up here. We're talking about planting something. Okay, I'm not going to read them all to you. Just start flashing them up there. How does that sound to you? Keep them going. They can read pretty fast. There you go. I'm giving you credit. Oh, that's a negative. I'm a slow reader. There you go. Somebody, yeah, volunteered for that one. No condemnation on me because I am in Jesus Christ. And He has finished the work. He will finish the work that He has started. That's it. He will finish what He started. He began a good work in you, and He's going to complete it until it's done. There's a good one. Look in the mirror. Jesus, you're going to complete what you started in me until it's done. All right. God bless y'all for being so attentive and smiling. Let's have a closing prayer, and I think I've got it up here. And if you'd like to, pray it with me. This is kind of for all of us here. And this is the conclusion. God, I repent of the negative things I have thought and said about myself. I have a new image now based on who I am in Christ and what He is making of me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I am blessed with favor, ability, power, peace, and joy. I am equipped, accepted, approved, full of potential, filled, free, full of grace, anointed, confident, and generous. It's the new me through the work of the Holy Spirit to show what God can do through those who believe and respond to God's fantastic plan. That's who I am, and by God's power, it will come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you for being here. I hope you're also happy that you came today and can take something home with you to use all week long. God bless you, and y'all are dismissed.